I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for an exploration of Washington County, Texas. It's not that far from Austin or Houston, but it's truly a world away, country at its finest. We'll visit with General Manager Allie Ray Ferguson at the majestic and truly architectural stunning winery Chapleton Vineyards in Washington, Texas. Next up is a visit at the Pioneer Smokehouse and Mercantile in downtown Brenham, Texas. It does a rocking business with diners and also serves as a unique place of worship. Pastor Mark Wren deftly juggles creating delectable hit smoked barbecue and ice-cold beer while also serving the Lord at his place on Sundays. In the heart of the historic village of Burton, Texas, you'll find Neon Moon Coffee Roasters, where owner Carl Luning juggles a thriving mail-order business for his fresh-roasted and bagged beans while also serving cups of Java for his retail customers. The hotspot for home-style cooking since 1984 in the heart of uptown Chapel Hill, Texas, is Beaver's Kitchen. 20-year veteran in the kitchen at Beaver's is Alejandra Ray, who purchased the diner for Miss Beaver's back in 2001. Odds are, if you stop in at the historic circa 1907 Crockett House Victorian Cottage for a slice of their fresh baked pies and lunchtime treats, you'll most likely find Alejandra either greeting her guests or creating yummy delights in the kitchen. Come along and join the exploration of Washington County, Texas.
The Lac du Bois is definitely like my favorite sentimental wine, and it is very nice. But this one's my personal favorite white wine. So this is Albarino. Our Albarino grapes we buy from the Texas High Plains. So this is 100% Texas fruit, but from the Lubbock area. North Texas has a little bit better climate for growing whites because they do get the cool night. My name is Allie Ferguson. I'm the general manager at Chapleton Vineyards in Washington, Texas.
But you came from San Diego, didn't you?
Yes, sir. I was born and raised in Southern California, and I spent about 10 years in the wine industry there before moving out here and helping to start this business. I started in the Ramona Valley region, south of Temecula. And
that's kind of the root predating Napa.
Yes, the very first original vines were in Southern California and then got ripped out during Prohibition. There's still some surviving in Ramona, actually. But now they have over 40 wineries and over 100 vineyards. But I was the marketing director for the Winery Association and had my own company working for wineries out there and the Grape Stomp Princess of Ramona. So that's where I started my career and then made my way out to Chapleton Vineyards.
Randomly show up here?
Yeah, so I came out to visit family. I have some family in the surrounding areas, and I wanted to visit some wineries while I was here, potentially think about moving out to be closer to family. And I called. They were having their grand opening the week before I came to visit. I called. I was here 2 weeks later, and 2 days later had a job offer, and 2 weeks later I was here.
What year was that?
That was April of 2022. So we opened April 2022. We were open Saturday only by appointment.
That was kind of tail end of COVID world, huh?
Yes, it was right when everyone was ready to get out. When I moved here, I got here May 1st. We opened every weekend. And then now we're open every day except for Tuesday. So we have really grown our availability for guests to come visit and all of our offerings as well.
Talk to us about your array of offerings. What percentage are Texas-grown grapes? And I see some California and a little bit of everywhere.
Yeah, so our philosophy here at Chapleton is happy grapes make happy wine. And so we do understand that it's a little more difficult to grow the traditional wine varietals here in Southeast Texas, where the weather is not as accommodating for vineyards. And so here we grow Estate Blanc de Bois, Merlot, and Tempranillo. And then we purchase grapes from other vineyards in Texas, in North Texas specifically. And then we also purchase from California, Washington State, and Argentina as of now.
Those grapes you press there and then ship?
No, we actually actually ship them whole clustered in half tote bins, refrigerated truck, straight here after they get picked, and we process everything here on site.
Pack the truck drivers lunch so they can keep going.
Yes, and send them home with wine to thank them. Yes, we process everything here. The only thing we don't process 100% here is our international wine, because it's a little more difficult to keep it safe. So they do the press and primary fermentation. We do secondary fermentation, aging, and bottling here.
Kind of traditional methods of producing wine, aging wine. Talk about barrel aging and what your lexicon there is for a moment.
Yeah, so our winemaker is really into making sure we express the varietal. We want to make sure that Merlot tastes like Merlot and Cabernet tastes like Cabernet, but we are doing, you know, different experiments with barrels. We brought in Cabernet Sauvignon this year and did a Delestage style, like French light style cab in a big giant barrel. So we are experimenting with different things. We have a barrel fermented Blanc de Bois, which I don't think I've ever seen in my career or haven't found one online. So
neutral oak?
No, we actually put it in new oak. So we have a mix. We have primarily new oak since we're a new winery. We purchased all brand new barrels. So we have a lot of new oak on the property, a little bit of neutral oak. We do barrel aging anywhere from a year and a half to 2 years traditionally. And then we also do all of our whites in stainless steel with the exception of our barrel aged Blanc de Bois. And then we have a cross flow filter and cross flow and bottle everything here on site. We also like to get our customers involved. Our wine club members love to come and watch bottling or be a part of harvest, which is really great. And we also have a wine school. So here we have
You're learning what?
It's an 8-month program where it's two different sections. Our first track is the viticulture track, 5 months of one class per month. And each month is a different part of the grape growing process. And it started with them planting our Sagrantino grapes, and they got to pick the Tempranillo grapes at their last class. And then the very first winemaking class was picking grapes, and they actually get to bottle the wine that they picked the grapes from earlier this year. So it's not an accredited school yet, but we're working on that. And our goal is to just educate people on the winemaking process, you know, grow appreciation for wine across the board, but also kind of dissolve the stigma that wine is super pretentious. And you know, we think wine is a delicacy and we really enjoy that, but it's also fun and exciting.
And the Wednesday afternoon wine in the mason jug.
Yes, exactly. Yes. We don't have any mason jar wine yet, but maybe someday. We also just got really exciting news this week that Total Wine, the wine and liquor store, picked up our wine for all 38 stores across Texas. So now you can get Total Wine anywhere in Texas.
That's so awesome. Yes. What's the demographics of people that come here, your wine club people and tasters and whatnot?
So I would say we have a large percentage of Houstonians, people that live in Houston and the surrounding areas.
It's so close.
Exactly. It's, you know, under an hour, hour and a half drive. We also, my favorite thing to see is we have people that meet here. So I had a group of sisters here a couple weeks ago. One lives in Dallas, one in Austin, one in Houston, and they all met here, which is really special. We have a great support for our local community, specifically Brenham and Navasota and College Station.
Close to College Station and Brenham are you?
Exactly. 35 minutes from Kyle Field. In A&M College Station, and we're 20 minutes from Brenham. So kind of in the middle of everything, which is nice, but still
The best of both because you're out in the country.
Yeah. Are you okay if I pour the next wine? And then we can chat some more. For this next tasting, you have on your left is our signature Cabernet Franc 2022. And on the right, you have our CV Premium Cabernet Franc 2022. So these are the exact same grapes, exact same vineyard, but made in different styles. So what we did was the signature Cab Franc was normally crushed to stem, pressed, but then put in that big giant wood barrel that you saw in the back. And so it's a large format barrel. It went through fermentation in barrel and aging in that same barrel. But because the barrel is large, it's less surface area of contact with the wine to the barrel. So it's a little bit more like fruit forward, fresher, a little less in oak influence. The one on the right is actually a single barrel new French oak.
To learn more about your world,
we have a website, chapletonvineyards.com. On that website, there's information about our wine club. You can shop our wines. We are working on shipping to all 50 states at some point. We also have villas on site, so you can book a stay for the weekend. During the week, we have two-bedroom houses, beautiful vint villas.
Self-catering.
Yes, we have dinner options with our chef, brunch options. And then we also do private events. So we do a lot of rehearsal dinners, corporate events, corporate retreats, bridal showers. And also my favorite tab on our website is where to find our wine in store. You can go on our website and look to see where you can find our wine. Right now, our wines are in Total Wine all over Texas, and we're hoping to expand that into 2025. ChapeltonVineyards.com. You can also follow us on Instagram. We're pretty active at Chapelton Vineyards or on Facebook as well. So my name is Allie Ferguson, General Manager at Chapelton Vineyards.
Allie, how cool. Thanks for sharing.
Yes, thank you so much for being here.
So we're at Pioneer Smokehouse in Brenham, Texas, which is about halfway between Houston and Austin, 45 minutes from College Station. The building that we're in goes back to 1862. We've been here since 2019, so we just passed our five-year anniversary. So we had a vision to essentially create something that would have a lot of things going on in one place. So before I opened this, I was a full-time pastor. I was working with a lot of church planters around the country and seeing that they had three challenges. Where do we meet? How do we support a pastor? And how do we meet people in the community? So I kind of came up with a plan.
It's all on your own. You just kind of deductive reasoning.
Hearing the problems that they had, I said, all right, let's turn their problems into opportunities. So I said, if we own the restaurant, we could meet there. It could be how we generate funds to support a family. I have a wife and three kids. And by having a restaurant, you also have a natural way to meet people in the community. And whether they're just coming for beer or barbecue or interested in the ministry stuff that we do as well, one way or the other, they come in and they have a great experience and they can decide what to do next.
You do Sunday formal service inside the restaurant?
I wouldn't call it formal, well, but yeah, yes. But, you know, so, yes.
But advertised.
Right. So every Sunday at 5 o'clock, we have a very casual worship service. I've been pastor, associate pastor at three different churches. And we came out here and we do a simple service, a couple songs, Bible-based message, prayer time, and then we offer free food after the service on Sunday night.
You usually write your own sermon?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've been doing sermons every Sunday for about 17, 18 years now. So when we came out here, the whole idea of opening a business and a church, we did it all. We moved here. We opened the next week. And the church is the easiest thing I do here because it comes naturally. It's something that, you know, is a passion of mine, and figuring out how to run a business. And like you said, surviving through COVID and kind of figuring out how everything works was the biggest uphill challenge. But now we've found the sweet spot and we're happy where we're at.
It's working.
Absolutely.
How many people come to your service typically?
It's a small room, yeah. So I would say, you know, probably between 20, 30 or so every week. So the cool thing about it is everyone that I would consider a regular at my worship service, they all started out as customers. So we didn't bring anybody except our family to this ministry idea when we started. So the whole idea is that when people come in, if they learn about that other stuff that we do on Sunday nights, if they're interested, they come back, they check it out. You know, some people have come once and said, yeah, we have our own church, but we're glad that you're doing this. Other people said, we come and yeah, that's not really our thing, but we're glad to know that you're doing it. So
a little bit more, because you kind of OJT'd on your food, on being a chef, right?
Yes, sir. So yeah, everything that I was doing beforehand, always cooking for the churches I worked at, cooking, you know, for friends, cooking for profit, you know, here and there, and coming out here, you say, yeah, I know how to cook, but you got to be ready for big crowds walking through, you know, lines to the door, and building clientele, building, you know, people that love your place, and, you know, people that are looking for authentic experience, good food, you know, hand prepared. We make all our own sides, all our own sauces. We smoke all the meat here on site. And we have a little bit of a different business model. So in Texas, the barbecue scene is very much cook what you're going to cook for the day and close when you sell out. And a lot of places here, even here in Brenham, have lines to the door, and people love their food and they go, and you know, when they sell all the food, they're gone. We wanted to create an experience that essentially you can come here for lunch, but if you come at 5 or 6 or 7 or 9 o'clock at night, we're still gonna have food. So we created a much more creative menu that's not just meat by the pound, sliced meat, stuff like that. A lot of fun, more kind of bar style foods, burgers, nachos, potatoes, you know, things that we can provide great food all throughout the day.
I love it.
Well, thank you.
To learn more about your world, go website or Instagram, or what do you recommend?
So on Facebook, we're under Pioneer Brenham, which is B-R-E-N-H-A-M. And that's also our website, so pioneerbrenham.com. Our church is under pioneermissioncommunity.org, and we were intentional about keeping the two worlds linked but separate, so that for people that weren't interested in ministry and gospel stuff like that, they can still come here and have a great time and get a true Texas experience. But on our business page, it links our church page. On our church page, it links our business page. So we see everything is connected. You know, one of the things we saw with a lot of church planters is if they were trying to start a church, they'd go get a job at Home Depot or Starbucks because they could get a salary there, they could get benefits there, but their job was separate from their ministry. And this model, which I called entrepreneurial church planting, was the idea that the business is essentially connected to everything that we're doing. My name is Mark Renn, R-E-N-N. Yeah, we've been here for 5 years. I've been a pastor for about 20 years now, and this is a good fit for me.
Thank you so much. This is great.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, great evening.
Take time to come out here and enjoy the rest of your time in Brenham.
I do.
Hi, I'm Carl Luning, it's L-U-N-I-N-G, German. We are at Neon Moon Coffee Roastery and Retail Shop in Burton, Texas.
Cool, and how'd you wind up here?
Interesting story. We were looking for a location, and we were this side of Austin looking in Smithville, LaGrange, Bastrop, Giddings, Texas, looking for a smaller community because we live in the area, and there was nothing that would work. So we used to eat lunch here at Las Patronas Mexican often, and when we came in to have lunch one day and we just drove around town, my wife always says, well, drive through town, we got to go see what's going on. This building was available.
Just empty.
Empty. Had a for lease on it. Made a phone call and ended up actually knowing the owner a little bit and started talking, and here we are.
It's amazing. You can see some major renovation went on.
Yes. So the gentleman that actually bought it and renovated it, this building in the early 1900s was built onto the original mercantile from the 1800s. When he bought it, the back wall was falling down, which was the original wall to the old mercantile. So he restored everything. It's three layers of brick all the way around except that back wall. It's just beautiful building. Yeah, he did a nice job getting it renovated about 10 years ago.
Small town.
The last census was 293. Elementary to high school's got over 1,000.
The kids rule.
Kids rule, yes, sir.
How far are you from, like, Dallas, Austin, San Antonio?
So Burton is pretty much dead center between Austin and Houston. If you go into downtown either way, it's about 2 hours. My commute into Austin is about 1 hour and 10 minutes. I'm on the west side. To get to Dallas is about, from here, about 3.5 hours.
Mm-hmm. Is there a draw here? Is there a getaway?
Quite a few Airbnbs in town. For some of the folks, they'll understand Round Top Antique Week. Round Top is about 10 minutes from here down 237 toward LaGrange. And twice a year, there's 2 weeks of antiques all the way from just north of LaGrange to Carmine, Texas.
That would be a big draw from a long way away.
Yeah, people come from all over the world for this thing. So we do a venue out there at a place called Blue Hills.
And when does this take place?
So it's in March for 2 weeks, and then it'll be in October for 2 weeks. And then in January, there's a 4-day winter show.
So you want to bring your steak side with you, wouldn't
yes.
you?
So there's a lot of Airbnbs here in Burton, all the way down past Round Top, all the way around. And
again, the draw would be Austin people or...
Mostly Austin and Houston folks come in for the weekends. Get some San Antonians, some few folks from Dallas, but most of them are Austin, Houston coming in.
Being such a small town, how'd you figure out a pro forma that would make your coffee place work?
When I first coming into it, I was going to do wholesale only and sell catch like restaurant, maybe some retail locations where I'm making it and selling it through somebody else, and had almost 30 people stop by over a few weeks saying, what are you doing? So I'm doing wholesale coffee. Great, we'll come get a cup. No, wholesale, not retail. Right. Well, great, we'll come get a cup. So after so many people in this small town, I thought, well, I better set up for retail.
So they backed you into a new model.
They did. And I'm glad I did because I know so many people here in the last 4 years. I've made friends here. You know, we got the Rooster Club cups hanging up there. Thursdays we'll have up to 17 retirees and a few working still. The school, the morning traffic is really good with the high school kids, the teachers, administrative staff over there.
You have snacks too, more than just coffee?
Yes. Yeah, so normally we'll have muffins and cookies. We used to do some klobasniks, or we still call it a sausage kolache here in Texas, but I'm just happen to be out currently, so I got the order coming tomorrow.
That's really cool. And then you have a second job, right?
Yeah. So my primary job is I work at a semiconductor plant, NXP Semiconductors in Austin, Texas. And that's a Monday through Friday, and manage a bunch of technicians and manufacturing personnel. So
very cool. And once again, the big picture, somebody, say they're up in Dallas and coming down 35 towards Austin and whatnot, where are you? How do you get here?
If you're coming down I-35, it's a drive, right? So it's an hour to hour and a half to get off of 35 over here. So basically Highway 290, which connects Houston and Austin, and right in Burton, Texas, we're just off the highway in downtown, which is not hard to find. You drive around for 2 minutes and you find us.
Roots of Texas history here.
Absolutely. So cotton gin here in Burton once a year.
And they still fire it up.
Yeah, they fire it up once a year at the Cotton Gin Festival, and that'd be in April. And it's the oldest running cotton gin in the U.S. If I remember the date right, it was 1893 manufacture.
And actually, I was there one time when it was running. Yeah, that was cool. A little dusty.
Yes, and it brings people. This little town, you would think you're in a metropolis. There's so many people here that weekend.
To learn more about your world, you guys have like Instagram or website?
Yeah, so we're on Instagram and Facebook under Neon Moon Coffee. Looking at doing the X or Twitter now, getting some more expansion in that. We're looking at more advertising.
What would somebody Google search?
Google search Neon Moon Coffee.
Too easy.
It's too easy. Yeah, so, you know, we do a monthly club online. We sell retail bags online. And, of course, if you come in the shop, we have some apparel. And
mail order?
Yes, we do a lot of mail orders through the monthly club and such. And most of our wholesale currently is kind of local businesses. But we've been as far as up to the Dallas Metroplex and Houston. That's the next round of expansion, as well as looking to get more into the whole. Originally, I wanted to do wholesale, so we're pushing that. Carl Looning, Neon Moon Coffee.
And I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from heartland of Texas. We'll see you here. Beaver's Kitchen.
Quite a long time.
Yes, since 2001. It wasn't really what I wanted to do, but I started working for Miss Beaver's, and then she said she was going to open a restaurant, and she asked me to help her, and I said, okay. I didn't really want it. Then when I started doing it, I just fell in love. I already liked cooking, but I really liked what she was teaching me, something new, things that I didn't know.
What were you most fascinated with? What did you enjoy the most about what she was making type of food?
It was the baking. The baking was more like a surprise to me. She was asking me to bake pies. And I said, oh, I don't know how to do that. And I made my few first pie crust, and they shrank to the middle, and I said, no, I can't do this. It was a challenge, but it was fascinating because I like challenges. So baking, seeing this, that you can have these ingredients here, and then you put it in the oven, and this beautiful pie or cookies come out, I thought, wow. It was fascinating, yes.
So you're going on 20 years here then, right?
Yeah, over 20 years, yes, yes.
So pies remain an attraction?
Yes, I think people come here looking for the pie. It's what attracts people to this place. Yes, they come and the first thing they do, go to the pie case, and if it's a pie they like, they say, I want that piece.
But you also have full lunches, right? Do you have breakfast and or dinner?
It's mostly lunch, and on Sundays we have brunch.
Did you grow up here?
No, I grew up in Mexico.
Whereabouts?
Colima. I'm from Colima, Mexico. Okay. Yes.
Did you, as a girl, cook with your mom in the kitchen?
Yes. I was always helping in the kitchen. My grandma was a great cook, and she was very picky. She didn't really let me do it, but once she saw me, she let me do it and help all the time. It was like the real food, you know, like we did everything from scratch.
And you still do some scratch cooking here, right?
Yes, I think it doesn't make sense to have a kitchen and don't cook. So we peel our potatoes, carrots, and everything that needs to be done. We try to do everything from scratch.
And you have a most popular, like a signature menu item that people come expecting to find?
There'll be the chicken fried steak. Yeah, they like our chicken fried steak.
So that's a classic.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. How about second place? What's another one?
Let's see. The thing that we sell the most next. I think it's meatloaf. Meatloaf. We do meatloaf on the weekends, on Sundays and Saturdays, and we always sold out on those too.
So truly family home cooking favorites, right?
That's what it is, yes. Wow. Yes, you come here and it's home expecting like your grandma's meal.
Mm-hmm. And you get it. Yes. We're in a 100-year-old farmhouse.
Yes, this house is from the early 1900s.
To learn more about your world, do you have like a website or how do people find out about you?
Yeah, we do have a website. Beavers-kitchen.com.
Oh, that's too easy. And you're Alejandra?
Alejandra Ray, yes.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm Wilmer reporting from Beavers Kitchen. We'll see you here. The underbed music in this show was performed by Texas Hill Country musician hailing from Marble Falls, John Arthur Martinez.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
A stone's throw from old Germantown, you'll hear the fiddle man break down. The bar will take you back in time when a young Ray Price was in his prime. Founded by a native son before the West was truly won. What a run for the old dance hall, but is it time for one last call? Bucking left, he took the stage, even Willie, back in its heyday. The Negro swing band played there too, and Marty Robbins sang the blues. Shine your boots, it's Saturday night, you'll swear Bob Wills is still alive. The German folks still love to sing the Cherry Spring Swing. Star, saw Chuck Berry's red guitar, Hank the First and Patsy Cline, Johnny Cash once walked the line. Shine your boots, it's Saturday night, you'll swear Bob Wills is still alive. The German folks still love to sing the Cherry Spring Swing.